Hi, everybody. Steve Savitsky. And today we are really, very, really, really fortunate to have Rabbi Dr. Warren Goldstein, the Chief Rabbi of South Africa, on the line with me. Good morning. Good afternoon, Rabbi Dr. Goldstein. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank God. How are you, Steve? It's great to be with you and with your listeners. It's a great honor to be on your program.
Thank you so much. And we at the Orthodox Union, of course, have the highest regard for you and for everything you do. And we work together closely. And it's a wonderful relationship. And God willing, in the next edition of the Jewish Action, Bela Sheva Brenner wrote a beautiful article called Conversing with the Chief Rabbi from Johannesburg Shall Go Forth Torah, not from Jerusalem, but from Johannesburg. And certainly having been there, I could tell everybody that it's an incredible place of what they've done and what they've achieved. So let's talk a little bit about the Jewish community, the size of the Jewish community, and how is it possible that you've done the impossible, which is to really make a cohesive, you know, Jewish community, which is almost, an oxymoron.
I think Baruch Hashem, the South African Jewish community is a thriving community. Its numbers, around 75,000 Jews here, but a very active community. And Baruch Hashem, the numbers of the community are strong. An area that I always look at is to see in the schools and in the younger grades in particular, in the schools right across the spectrum, the numbers are up and strong and vibrant, and so thank God, the community is in a good space and continues to grow from a Jewish point of view, from a Torah point of view, and as you mentioned, the cohesiveness is something which I know that visitors coming to South Africa always remark upon the fact that we have one chief rabbinate, one Beis Din, one Kashrus Heksher, and one rabbinical association, and so we have a what could be called a tzuras hakehila, structure of a kehila that one really has the concept of a kehila that holds all its different parts together.
Right, and everybody has marveled that whenever you've come, you always see it. But I guess one of the issues, you think about South Africa and people, and I know you've done a lot in this area as far as your community active protection and the anti-crime, but there is crime. There's certainly a perception that there's a lot of crime. What's the reason for it, I guess, and will that continue or could that improve? And what has the Jewish community done to make sure that they're safe?
Perhaps I'll begin by answering your last question first, and that is, as you referred to this community active protection, which is called CAP, something that I've been very involved in together with a number of key individuals who've helped me really put it together, and now it's been running for almost 7 years now, thank God, and it's covering an area of Johannesburg that protects about 150,000 residents of the city of Johannesburg and has brought down contact crime, that's person-to-person crime, by between 80 and 90% depending on the area. And so thank God, with great miracles, it has achieved a lot and has developed a whole new way of understanding security in South Africa and is making a contribution to that debate in the context of the broader South African society. So it's a wonderful, thank God, a wonderful contribution on part of the Jewish community to the broader society. But I think South Africa as a country is of course, in many ways, it's very difficult for people to understand it properly because it's very complex. On the one hand, of course, there are many problems facing the country in terms of poverty alleviation, service delivery, and growing the economy. But on the other hand, it's a country that was able to to put on the 2010 Soccer World Cup in style and did it with an incredible infrastructure of transport and roads, and it has a very strong and robust financial sector, is an important global player. For example, the BRICS countries, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa is the S in the BRICS, and it's an important country which has a very robust and strong society, very robust and independent press, judiciary, a highly functioning democracy, for example, just to give you some, by way of comparison, South Africa, we're really on to the fourth president since the advent of democracy in 1994, and Zimbabwe is still sitting with its first president. And so, democracy is robust, there's freedom, it's an open society, and has a great track record of delivering on many things, but at the same time, there's a great backlog of human suffering, which is a legacy of many things, obviously colonialism, apartheid, and many other things, and the country is trying to address that, and it's a messy process. It's not one which is easily done, but Jews are making a big contribution to the building of the new South Africa in all spheres of life, and so it's really a country with almost two faces. There's a part of it that is so first world and highly developed and highly sophisticated, and then there's a face of the country where you see raw poverty and raw problems in a way that you will not encounter in the United States.
Right. I saw that we went to Soweto and saw how the people live there. It's quite unbelievable. I want to just kind of switch for a second. I know one of the marvels, of course, is the fact that most of the people who live in South Africa are traditional Jews. Whether they're observant or not, they certainly feel strongly about the Torah, and they're being proud of being a Jew. And I've met some Reform conservative Jews, and I know they're trying to make some inroads in South Africa. Have they been successful? What's the status of Reform and conservative in South Africa today?
Well, conservative is almost non-existent. There's a tiny group in Johannesburg, tiny, but I'm talking really tiny. It's almost non-existent. Reform makes up, according to statistics, roughly 7%. The remaining upwards of 90% are affiliated, formally or informally, to Orthodox Judaism. And as you correctly point out, the South African Jew is an amazing and interesting case study for people who are coming in from the outside, because as you said, the vast majority of the community strongly have a strong and proud sense of Jewish identity, affiliated to an Orthodox shul, and are strong and proud Zionists, and the level of the Shmiras HaMitzvahs really varies, but you could have the majority not very mitzvah observant in many aspects, but yet proud Jews and connected to and have a tremendous respect for Torah and for Rabbonim and for strong Jewish values, and are therefore are so open to growing in their Yiddishkeit. And it's a very warm and open community, both from a Lakachnosos Orchim point of view and Midas point of view, but also openness to Yiddishkeit and openness to growing. And so that's why many of the educational initiatives that I've embarked upon have been warmly received by the community, and it's much more of a testament to them, because there's this real openness, and present something which is exciting and interesting, and people will respond, and there's a great warmth to it, and this as you correctly said, this really strong proud Jewish identity.
Right, and of course, while we're talking about that, how could we not talk about this initiative that the whole world has heard about, the Sinai in Daba? Is that, did I pronounce it correct?
Yes, well done. You pronounced it
Sinai
100%
in Daba. I've heard about it. Everybody knows about it. I've actually watched some of the shiurim, some of the tapes. It's absolutely marvelous. You get over 3,000 people who come both to Johannesburg and Cape Town, and you really revitalize. Every time I meet people from South Africa, I've met them on cruises where I've spoken and other places, all they talk about is what a fantastic, fantastic program. So let's hear a little bit about it. This is your child, right?
Yes, it's the word Sana, obviously from Har Sinai, and Indaba is a Zulu word which means a gathering of the tribe to discuss important matters. And you know, it's obviously just a name for the program, but what it is a mass Torah convention where we bring together some of the top Torah speakers, personalities, thinkers from right across the world, 10 at a time, roughly. We've run it for 3 years in a row, and they come and we have multiple sessions over a weekend, starting Motzei Shabbos Sunday, and then continuing on Monday into Cape Town and the other centres in South Africa. And as you pointed out, thousands of people come. I mean, this year we had in Johannesburg actually 4,500 people that came. In Cape Town, 1,700. The total reach was well over 6,000. And the beauty of it is that there are Torah thinkers and speakers from all the different parts of the Torah world, so we have people coming from the modern Orthodox world, from Haredi, from Chabad, from right across the spectrum, all different sorts, and really the message of the unity of Klal Yisrael is that we are so much more than the differences that divide us, and on the contrary, these differences add to our diversity and strengthen us. So for example, in this conference and previous ones we've had, we had Dr. Pelkovitz who came, Rabbi Friend, we've had Rabbi Glickman also from YU, Rabbi Pesach Krohn, Rabbi Manus Friedman, and the Lori Palatnik, and a very wide range of speakers from all different walks of life. We had Chief Rabbi Sachs came this last year, and the idea is really to present Torah on the highest level, and also with the key message is that Torah speaks to every part of life, and so we have thousands of people that come from all different parts. You've got people coming from within the Haredi community to participate. They've got really secular Jews who hardly put a foot in shul, and they there, and everybody in between. And so it's a real mixture of Jews, a real mixture of speakers, with a common denominator being the power of Torah and the relevance of Torah for the world. To say there's no part of life that is not touched by Torah in some way. So that the topics range from things to do with Israel, family life, happiness, business ethics, absolutely any topic that pertains to real life, because as we know, the Torah has a message for real life, and almost like a motto of it is Hafurba Vafurba de Kolaba. Turn it over and over, everything is in Torah, and that becomes the powerful message of Sinai and Daba, which people then find very inspiring, and the sheer experience of being among so many people from such diverse backgrounds around Torah values, that I think is part of the magic of it.
No question, and as I said, I've had the great opportunity to listen to it and hear a great deal about it. It's really unbelievable. I just want to switch topics just for a moment. I know that when I was in South Africa, we met with many, many members of the government, and they seem to somehow bifurcate the relationship they have with the Jewish people who live in South Africa. They said there's no anti-Semitism, but they certainly seem to be anti-Zionistic, or certainly their feelings about Israel is that Israel is an apartheid state. And I just don't get it. No matter how much we spoke to them, no matter how we try to explain it to them, they just seem to think that Israel is an apartheid state. And is that changing, or is it still the same?
Well, I think it's a very good question that you ask. Firstly, you correctly observe that the Jewish community is very well respected in this country, and that's due to the ethos of the country as well as the Jewish contribution. But the ethos of the country, which is the motto of the country, is called unity and diversity, and the diversity of the country is celebrated. So that means, practically speaking, at the inauguration of a president, there will be prayers delivered from all of the major faith groups, and then, as chief rabbi, I would deliver a prayer at a presidential inauguration or any important state gathering, amongst other things, or if there's a presidential dinner with the visiting head of state. So I would go there to represent the Jewish community. They would provide kosher food, and it's not just kosher style. It comes double wrapped with all the stickers of the Hechel structure of the Beis Din, and the cutlery comes double wrapped. So it's done properly and with care and consideration. I remember one year I attended a presidential event, and there was it was during Chol HaMoed Pesach, and I didn't eat anything, and they were upset because they pride themselves, you know, that it's something that, that the country belongs to everybody. So that's on the one hand. On the other hand, there's definitely a blind spot when it comes to Israel, you know, and it's a broad thing within the society, and a lot of it has to do with the history of the country, which means during the ANC was the ruling party, in their struggle against the apartheid government, they found support at the time from the PLO, so there's history to that, amongst many other complicated factors. The Jewish community here is known to be very Zionistic, so there's no doubt in the minds of the government here and the broader society where we stand. I mean, I've written many articles in the press defending the state of Israel. In fact, a number of months ago, calling upon the deputy foreign minister to resign when he called on people not to visit Israel, and taking a very robust and open approach in a democracy. And the thing that I write about most is saying that the accusation that Israel is an apartheid state is a modern day blood libel. It is really based completely on myth, and the analogies are so false that and I think that as Jews we have a duty and a chiyuv and a mitzvah to refute these accusations and to stand up and to really reject them with reasoned argument, but indeed with contempt, because it's such a serious accusation. Unfortunately, in the world of sound bites and imagery, the enemies of the state of Israel who have no qualms with tampering with the truth, will use the apartheid term, but we have to refute it. And it's something that we have to be very strong and very robust on, and really to deal with in every way, shape, or form.
Right. Well, that's great. I mean, you know, there's no question that, you know, a lot has to be done. And I know when groups come and meet with the government the way we did through the Conference of Presidents, I know we tried the best that we could. I guess when I look at the, you know, picture of South Africa, an incredible, incredible place that everyone should visit. It's beautiful aesthetically. And yeah, so you heard this today from Rabbi Goldstein. It's a wonderful Jewish community. One of the challenges, and we'll just kind of end with this, one of the challenges I see is, of course, how do you keep the young people who are there, you know, when they finish, they go into high school, college, how do you keep them in South Africa? Because that's really the future. That's one part. Second part of the question is anything being done to attract other people from other countries to come, to move to South Africa, and, you know, perhaps, give them some economic base and incentives to come? The way I look at it from my point of view, once again, and just on the outside looking in, that's a major issue and has to be resolved.
Yes. Also, again, very good questions that you ask. There's definitely, in recent years, the immigration from South Africa has slowed down to a trickle, to the point where it's very close to the phenomenon of global movements. You know, the world we live in is very fluid, and people move from place to place. So it's very much down. It's not. There was a time a number of years ago where, you know, people, and especially young people, were flowing out of the country. That is not so anymore. That's what I mentioned to you at the start of our conversation about, you know, the numbers being up in the schools, and that's a very significant thing because it means young families are here and are staying. So that's a very important thing. Of course, you know, we still pride ourselves as a community being a Zionist community, and Aliyah figures still remain strong, and we encourage that. But Baruch Hashem, immigration from South Africa to other places other than Israel is really come down dramatically in the last number of years. So from that point of view, I think that we're holding the numbers that we have, and people, good, you know, I think, good, feel more settled. In terms of attracting people here, there's a very large, you know, expat South African community around the world, and I think that's really the place to start. Is, you know, people, South Africans who have left South Africa a number of years ago, should know that that, you know, the community thrives and continues to do well. And I think, you know, through programs such as Sinai and Daba, and also, for example, Generation Sinai, you know, which was this mass program of parents and children learning together, which started here in South Africa and now is, you know, operating in about 38 cities all around the world. So I think that, you know, the most important thing is not, I would, you know, where a person chooses to live is a very personal decision, and I think, you know, I never like to put pressure on that or even try to persuade. I think the most important message to get out is that the South African Jewish community is thriving, and it's a wonderful Jewish community making a contribution to the broader society here in South Africa, but living a proud and committed Jewish life, and, you know, we view ourselves very much as part of the global Klal Yisrael, and for me, what's much more important about, you know, trying to say should a person move from one country to another is to say, and it's something that I'm trying to stress to our community here, is we are part of Klal Yisrael, and that means a connection obviously to Eretz Yisrael and Medinat Yisrael, but to all Jewish communities around, and so that's why I really valued your visit to South Africa, and you know, when I was in America a number of months ago, the bonds between our communities, between the American Jewish community and the South African Jewish community, need to be strong. We've got so much to offer each other. There are wonderful things going on in America that, you know, we can learn from and implement here, and in the reverse too. And I think that we, if we support each other, which we do, and I think that these kind of relationships are so very precious and something which is so very special, then, you know, that's where the specialness comes in. And I think that if you know, the world jury sees all of its different components as a, you know, a diverse mix, all connected to Torah values, and to do our best to strengthen those Torah values, that can be something which is really special and really, really precious.
Wonderful. Well, listen, anything we could do at the Orthodox Union to help, to do joint ventures, anything possible. It's an incredible community. I urge the people who listen, go on the website, take a look at the South African community, see a beautiful, cohesive community, get to meet an incredible chief rabbi, and take a safari and enjoy yourself, and then you'll really feel you're really part of Klal Yisrael. So since we are right before Yom Kippur, I want to wish you a Gemar Chasima Tova, and I've had a wonderful conversation, and thank you so much, Rabbi Dr. Warren Goldstein, for coming on the program. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.
Yes, and to you, and a wonderful, wonderful year. Gemar Chasima Tova.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.